In a dark corner of the world, free from prying eyes, a mutant calling himself Mesmero sits gazing at a computer screen.
So many undiscovered mutants out there. So many possible recruits to his cause. Well now, this one is interesting. The power of... What? But how can she? Is evolution so random as to create another just like him? Or... Yes, of course. Now where are you going, child? That area, that direction, she's going there. Westchester, New York. Xavier.
X-Men Season 1, Episode 9, Polaris. Narrated for you by Sam Devereaux. Starring Omri Rose as Cyclops, Natalie Winter as Jean Grey, Joseph Sivirik as Iceman, Robert Pierce as Angel, Stephen Chesterton as Beast, Jason Rivers as Charles Xavier, Sarah Langton as Lorna Dane, and George Prince as Mesmero. Also with the voices of Sophie DeWell, Jeannie McGuinness, and Alex Zuko. Script editing by Drew Kalin. Music by Declan Gilgallon. Written, edited, and directed by Calderton from the original stories by Roy Thomas, Stan Lee, and Jack Kirby. X-Men is a trademark of Marvel Entertainment. This project has no affiliation.
Happy birthday, Bobby.
Thanks, guys.
17. Old enough to drive.
Perhaps, Hank, you should give Bobby flying lessons in the Blackbird.
Really?
Maybe. One day. But let's get you safely navigating the ground first.
I still don't get why we're having the party here. Why not a bar?
Because none of us are 21 just yet.
I've been served at plenty of places.
You better not have.
Now. Alex didn't come all this way to see you to get lectured. You're not his dad.
Yeah, but... All right.
Here, another bottle of champagne on the house. Don't tell Joe.
Where does a coffee shop get all this expendable champagne?
The 7-Eleven down the street.
Ah.
Pour me another, will you?
Jean can't help but regard him for a moment, concerned for her friend.
He's been like this since his father passed away. Glad I convinced him to come, but... Maybe giving a young man with depression access to alcohol wasn't the best idea.
Hey, Zelda! When do you get off?
5 minutes. Why?
Want to join us?
Sure. Just let me go and sort it with Joe.
Okay. What?
Nothing.
Whatever. You'll want to talk, lover boy.
Warren! Hey, Warren!
Warren stands with a start as a blonde-haired knockout approaches the table.
Candy? I didn't expect you to make it.
I came as soon as I could. You did invite me.
Yes, but I didn't think you would be able to make the trip.
Are you going to introduce us?
Huh? Oh, yeah. Guys, this is Candy Southern. My friend from high school.
I hope I didn't crash. Warren invited me a while back. Then, when I heard the news... I had to... Warren, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Anyway, never mind that. You're here now. Come on, join in. I'll introduce you to everyone.
Hours pass into a late night, Xavier excusing himself to retire, and the group now finds themselves the only ones left in the closed shop. Alex Summers is asleep on the table.
I'm taking off. Lock up when the party's done, Zelda.
I will. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. I'm only leaving you here because at this point, you kids are paying for my mortgage. You just make sure to be here early and clean up all this crap.
Okay. Night, Joe.
Thanks, Joe. night.
I'm going to change this music. This is the most generic crap I've ever heard.
This is nice.
What?
I don't know, just being normal.
Say that a bit louder, why don't you?
Shut up.
Hey.
Why can't they just kiss and get it over with?
Huh? Those two aren't together?
Incredibly, no.
What are you guys whispering about?
A bit sappy, I know, but it's all I could find. Come on, birthday boy.
Huh?
Let's have this dance.
Okay.
Zelda pushes a few tables back, clearing the floor of the coffee shop into a sizable dance space, then pulls Bobby in to slow dance with her.
I think Bobby had a few too many celebratory glasses.
Yup.
Jean, would you like to?
I thought you'd never ask.
Scott smiles and extends his hand, pulling Jean up and over to the dance floor, looking down nervously into her eyes as she looks back up at him in a similar state. The two clasp hands and join Zelda and Bobby in the dance.
Come on, Warren.
No, I really don't.
Warren, get off your ass and dance with me.
Candy now pulls Warren up, almost dragging him to the dance floor. Finally, the boy accepts his fate and joins the two other couples in traditional dance. Hank, meanwhile, sits drinking through a straw, looking over to Scott's younger brother and shaking his head with a smirk. Three songs later, and Hank has headed over to the counter for another coffee, leaving the three couples dancing away. Jean and Scott are now dancing closer, pressed up against each other, Jean's head now on Scott's shoulder. She raises her head, looks up to him, and, in that moment, as they lock eyes, they both know what is about to happen. Scott leans down his head, his lips meeting hers as their eyes close. Next to them, a smiling Bobby is dancing away when he notices the event out of the corner of his eye. Looking over at the two with the biggest grin on his face, he nods towards them to Zelda. He looks over to Warren and Candy, who are also beaming. Warren mouthing silently, "About bloody time." Fist pumping as behind the counter, Hank nods. As the two now finally come up for air, they look around as everyone grins back at them. All they can do is laugh.
Well, that was fun. Glad you invited me.
Thanks for coming.
Like I said, I needed to see you after... How did it happen?
A stroke. He was locked in his office drinking. Mother didn't find him till the next morning. By then it was too late.
I'm really sorry. When did you last see him?
The night before. We argued.
About what?
Me being at Xavier's. Being a mutant. All of it. It was my fault.
What?
The doctors said it was probably brought on by stress. The way I spoke to him at dinner.
Hey, your dad was the CEO of a giant corporation, and delegating wasn't one of his strong suits. That alone would have been enough.
Candy! It was the night after I told him that I was going to be hunted down by a giant killing machine. One that he funded. After I told him that it would expose me. Expose us. It was because of me.
You can never know that. You will never know that.
Mum agrees. I know she does. She hasn't spoken to me since the funeral.
Then to hell with her, then. You can't beat yourself up about this. It won't change anything. Fate dealt you strange genes. No one can tell how people will react to these things that you all can do. But look at me. I know. And I'm here, aren't I?
Yes. You are.
You're not getting rid of me that easy, Worthington.
It's nice. I only see you guys when you come in, but even I knew that those two were going to happen.
Everyone did.
What about you? Never tempted?
What, with Jean? No! Well, Yeah, I mean, she's hot as hell, but I never had a chance. Not with Warren and Scott around.
Well, this is me. Thanks for walking me home.
No problem. Thanks for the night.
No problem.
So, can I kiss you?
Try it and see what happens.
Before they know it, Bobby and Zelda find themselves the second couple to be lip-locked this evening. The next morning, Bobby rises to the sounds of birds, a permanent smile returning to his face as he leaps out of bed, dresses, then heads down to the main kitchen for breakfast.
Morning, Scott.
And a good morning to you, Bobby.
You're up early for a Saturday.
So are you.
So, where did you sleep last night?
In my bed.
Alone?
Yes. God, what kind of guy do you take me for?
Just asking.
What about you? Did Zelda get home safe?
Oh, yeah.
And did you...
Maybe.
What a night.
What a night indeed. Morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Hank.
Hey, Beastie.
So, what's this that you did, Bobby?
Nothing.
You and Zelda kissed, didn't you?
Shut up!
I knew it.
I thought you turned blue, Iceman, not red.
You can go to hell as well.
You want me to run Alex back home in the Blackbird, Scott?
No, that's fine. His foster parents bought him a return ticket. Besides, our jet is getting way too famous these days.
You have a point there.
Who's that?
I got it!
The door opens, and behind it stands a teenage girl. Normal in appearance, but for her strikingly bright green hair and eyes.
Hello?
Hi there. I'm Lorna Dane. I heard this was the place for mutants.
Where did you hear that?
I spoke with Professor Xavier on the phone a few weeks ago. He said he'd pick me up on the Cerebra.
Cerebro. How are you, Lorna? Come in, my dear.
Who's that?
I'm not sure. Come on, you're going to miss your flight.
As Lorna sits in front of his desk, Xavier places a cup of tea and saucer before her and wheels himself back around to the other side of it.
Thank you.
So, young lady, I thought you said you weren't interested in my school. Don't get me wrong, I'm glad you're here. I just didn't expect it.
Well, neither did I. But then I wrecked my apartment and got thrown out on the street. I didn't have anywhere else to go.
I'm sorry to hear that. And my offer stands. You are always welcome here.
Thanks.
I do have one condition. You let Hank run a DNA test on you.
What?
Let's just call it a hunch.
An hour later, Xavier sits outside of the newly constructed science lab, found deep within new areas of the ever-growing sub-basement, waiting and hoping that he is wrong. As he does, Bobby appears down the hall.
Bobby? What are you doing down here?
Just thought I'd come down and see what was going on. I don't remember any of us original students having to pass any physical to get in here.
I had no reason to give you one.
But you do with her?
Yes.
So, since when can Hank do medical science?
His major at college was in such. But I helped him give a crash course in machinery when he arrived. It is amazing what one can be capable of when the right pathways in the brain are unlocked.
Oh! So, can you do the same for me in calculus?
No.
Why?
Because Hank already had a genius-level intellect. I just honed it. You, however, have no such natural aptitude for mathematics.
Oh, come on!
Besides, it still took many months of practice. Why do you think I haven't let him be the school doctor until now?
I guess.
The automatic door opens, from behind which Lorna and Hank emerge. Hank looks grim.
So, was I right?
I'm afraid so.
Let's gather everyone in the lounge.
A few minutes later, the students of Xavier's are gathered around the sitting room, Lorna averting her eyes from the strangers around her. Strangers who are about to learn something which she has only just discovered about herself.
Where's Scott?
Taking Alex to the airport.
Very well. I will have to inform him later. In any case, this, as some of you already know, is Lorna. She is your newest classmate. However, there is something about her that I must tell you before rumor and conjecture spreads, as it is known to do. Lorna has the power of magnetism.
Like over metal?
Yes.
Like Magneto?
Indeed. I had hoped that it was merely a coincidence when I spoke to her before. After all, I am not the only telepath in this world. But now that she is here, I needed to be sure.
Of?
Lorna is Eric's daughter.
Another one?
It would appear so.
I ran the most advanced of tests. Her DNA matches the sample the professor had on file from years ago.
Wait, how did you get Magneto's blood? Never mind. I don't want to know.
For a man who hates humans, he sure as hell gets around.
Tell me about it. Seed Superior, more like.
Sorry.
No offense.
It's okay. It means nothing to me. Well, I mean, it does. But I never knew him. Still, finding out your biological father is a genocidal mutant terrorist. Oh, I just need to process it right now.
Well, luckily for you, he is not around these days.
He's dead?
Not quite. But he is out of the picture. Indefinitely.
Good.
Jean, why don't you help Lorna into her room? Help her get settled in.
Sure.
As Jean takes Lorna up the stairs to a free room, the others look around at each other, processing the information they were just given.
Will you be okay in here?
Yeah, this is great, thanks.
You'll get used to it.
Hmm?
This place. It wasn't long ago that I was the new girl. I had no idea what a crazy ride I was in for.
Yeah, but your father isn't a murdering psychopath.
He's not your father, Lorna. You never knew him. He didn't raise you. I believe in nurture over nature.
Yeah.
What about your mother?
She died. A few years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's fine. Do you mind if I have a minute alone? I just need to have a moment here.
Sure.
Thanks, Jean.
Jean makes her way from the room, down the stairs, and into the ground floor corridors. As she makes round the corner, she spies Cyclops coming from the other direction. She stops and smiles, a smile that he returns.
Hey, you.
Hi.
What's this about the new girl being Magneto's daughter?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, who cares, right? If she never knew him, then she's no different than the rest of us.
Exactly.
So, you okay this morning?
Yeah, why wouldn't I be?
I don't know. Just wanted to make sure you're okay with everything, that nothing happened that you didn't want.
Listen, Summers, I only had 2 glasses of champagne. What I did, I meant to do.
Good.
Yep. So can we drop this awkward talk now?
Okay. You want to go for a walk?
Sure.
Elsewhere in the mansion, Bobby Drake sits at the kitchen counter, his mobile phone in hand, texting away. He then looks up, hearing the voices of Scott and Jean, watching them as they head out towards the large garden grounds.
They look happy.
Huh? Oh, hey, Hank. Yeah, makes me want to puke.
That's not what you thought last night, when you were the happy one. That Harry you texting?
Yeah. She hasn't replied to, 3 texts. I think she regrets it.
Maybe she's busy at work.
I guess.
So, Lorna is very attractive.
Yeah, but I'm kind of in a thing with someone. Why don't you try for it?
Why? Does every female here have to exist to be someone's girlfriend?
Just saying. If you want to, then go for it.
No, I'm fine. I have something.
What, you? Who?
Why is that surprising?
Oh, I don't know, because you've never, ever mentioned anything about a girl. Ever. It is a girl, right?
Yes, it's a girl. And the reason I didn't mention her is because Vera and I have only been on 2 dates.
But it might be more.
I don't know.
Why didn't you ever mention her? Why didn't she come last night?
Oh, I like to keep things private. And like I said, it's early days.
Well, I better meet her. And soon.
I'll see what she says.
Why is this place getting all coupled up lately?
We may be mutants, Bobby, but we are teenagers all the same.
Hey, mind if I join you guys? I haven't really got anything to do.
Sure.
Of course, of course. So, how are you, dealing with everything?
I don't really want to think about it, to be honest. Just want to focus on being new here.
Good idea.
Right, so, names. You two are Bobby and Hank, right?
I'm Bobby. That's Hank.
And Winged Guy?
Warren.
Warren.
And the couple out there are Scott and Jean.
Oh, so they are a real item.
It would seem that way.
Took long enough. We've been waiting for Scott to make the move for months now.
What about you two? Seeing anyone?
Yes. Well, hopefully.
Me? Oh, I guess. This girl, Zelda and I.
Oh.
There you go, you see. I told him she would text back. He was getting paranoid.
Well, yeah, she was at work, and wants me to go to her place for dinner.
They don't call me a genius for nothing.
Looks like I missed out on you all. So is Warren single?
I think so. Is he? Is Candy?
Perhaps. I didn't ask. He did leave with her and saw her home.
God, mutants are complicated.
You have no idea.
That night, as all are sleeping, a figure finds his way inside, making his way up the staircase and moving without sound. The shadow walks the corridors of the mansion, but he does not go unnoticed. Sitting up in his room, Bobby Drake spies the form as it passes his doorway.
Oh, what the... Scott, that you? Warren?
Bobby moves from his bed, making his way out of the room and following the figure as it makes its way towards Lorna's room and slowly opens the door. The form approaches the sleeping beauty and reaches out, its hands towards her emerald head.
Who are you? What are you doing?
With a start, the figure looks around, a man hooded in a black robe, his skin green, his eyes an orange-yellow. Behind him, Lorna wakes with a start.
Who are you? Get away!
You little brat. What are you doing awake at this hour?
I had trouble sleeping. What's your excuse?
Bobby has his hands raised, iced over, and pointed towards the man. The stranger raises his arms and moves his fingers, his eyes disappearing into a hypnotic gaze.
Look into my eyes. You are tired. Very tired. You need to go to bed.
I need to go back to bed. Yes. I'm really tired. I need to sleep.
What are you doing to him? Help! Someone help!
Be silent, girl. I will deal with you in a moment.
The man now moves his other hand to face Lorna, then focuses back on Bobby when...
You picked the wrong house to break into, buddy.
The lights turned on, flooding the hallway as from all sides come the students, followed soon by Xavier as the stranger pulls himself up.
What is...
Who is that?
Mesmero. You call yourself Mesmero?
You won't be able to mess with my mind, Xavier. Don't even try.
How did you find us here?
I followed the girl.
She's working with you.
I have never even met the guy, you douchebag.
But you know us. You know what this place is. How?
You don't have the patent on mutant detection equipment, Xavier, nor the ability to get information out of useless people. Mastermind proved quite helpful.
How did you get to Mastermind?
What is this? 20 questions? I am leaving with the girl.
Try it, and I'll take these off her longer next time.
I would love to see you try. It's amazing what suggestion can do. Imagine if you opened your eyes to your friends here, Scott. Towards Jean.
That's it, you son of a...
Why do you want me?
You are his daughter. Your place is at his side.
His side?
Magneto?
Magneto is in a coma. I don't even know where he is.
Maybe so, but I will carry out his goals in his name, and I will start in presenting his daughter for him for acceptance.
He might never wake up.
You'd know, wouldn't you, Jean?
Stay out of my head, or you'll know all about it too.
Lorna, you know as well as I do, you don't belong here with them. You belong with him, with your father.
I don't have a father.
Don't move.
Of course.
Mesmero raises his hands into the air slowly. Then, with a sudden movement, turns towards Lorna and flashes his eyes.
Defend me, Lorna. Defend me with your power.
The rest of them run in, Cyclops reaching for his glasses. But before he can, Lorna turns to face him, her eyes now the same color and hypnotic pattern as Mesmero's. She raises her arms.
Oh, no.
Lorna moves her hand, sending a lamp flying into Scott, knocking him back, forcing him to drop his glasses as he stumbles. Hank and Warren move towards her, but she brings down a large metal-framed picture onto them. And then follows up with a chair that flies from one of the rooms. Jean steps forward with Scott in front of Lorna, Bobby coming up from behind.
Lorna, snap out of it!
Bobby stops in his tracks as he is caught in the grinning, hypnotic gaze of Mesmero. Jean reaches out with a telekinetic blast and sends Mesmero flying backwards into a wall. Mesmero raises up onto his hands and knees and looks up into the narrowed eyes of Xavier. The two lock eyes and minds. As the two minds meet, Bobby turns with the same hypnotized eyes towards the incoming Warren and Hank.
Hank! His eyes!
I see them. Bobby! Bobby! Listen to me! Wake up!
Before he can say another word, ice shoots from Bobby's hands, forming a wall of thick ice between them and the rest of the fight. Hank pounding on the wall in frustration.
Bobby, no!
Meanwhile, Scott and Jean regroup as Lorna turns towards them, and the sound of magnetism begins ringing in their ears. Another sound becomes apparent downstairs, the sound of clattering metal.
What is that?
Scott, look out!
Jean pulls Scott down to the floor as three kitchen knives sail past their heads and stab into the wall, followed by almost 30 pieces of cutlery. Knives, forks, and spoons from the kitchen begin flying right for them, a few into Scott, cutting him and knocking him down.
Scott!
Jean now reaches out with a telekinetic wave, halting the pieces of formed metal, sending them flying away from them.
That's it. Sorry, Lorna, but I have to do this.
Jean now locks eyes with Lorna and holds her hands to the other girl's head, stopping the green-haired girl in mid-motion and battling with Mesmero's control. Behind her, Scott struggles to stand, but a blast of ice sends him flying backwards and over the stair railing.
No!
Jean breaks her psychic lock on Lorna and then reaches out, stopping Scott's fall.
Whoa!
As she lowers him safely to the ground, she almost does not notice Bobby and Lorna coming up behind her. Jean quickly sends Bobby flying with a psychic blast, then turns to Lorna, who sneers back at her, raising her hand, pointing at Jean, sending every piece of flying cutlery towards her. But suddenly, the onslaught falls as Lorna stops in her tracks and her eyes return to normal.
Huh? Where am I? Jean?
Jean then looks over to Xavier and Mesmero. Both are unmoved from their mental showdown, but Mesmero is starting to sweat and grimace.
No!
You are no match for me, Mesmero. You are beaten.
And with that, Mesmero's eyes close, and he slumps to the carpeted floor. Xavier sighs as he sits back in his chair.
What? Oh my god, did I do that? Sorry, guys.
You will be.
Jean, if you would kindly call Agent Duncan. Bobby, Lorna, please clean this up.
As morning breaks, the sun rising from the horizon, FBI trucks once again parked outside the Xavier mansion. Mesmero, still out cold, is being loaded into one of them. As the trucks pull away, Xavier wheels himself indoors.
I can't believe that guy. He actually thought I would go with him just because I was Magneto's daughter.
Yeah, well, he's gone now. One more bad guy bites the dust, thanks to the X-Men.
Is this what it's always like with you guys?
Pretty much.
Afraid so.
Are you okay with that?
Sure, what choice do I have? He would come after me anyway.
So, I guess we're up now.
Yeah. Not really feeling like going back to bed.
Well, Coffee at Go-Go opens in an hour. I mean, if anyone wants waking up.
Sure.
Why not?
Got nothing better to do.
I'm really tired. I think I'm going to go back to bed.
Yeah, me too.
Fine, losers.
Xavier shakes his head with a laugh as he wheels towards the stairs and allows Jean to lift him to the second floor.
Well, better get dressed.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Jean, isn't that Scott's shirt?
No.
Not that kind of guy in my ass, Cyclops.
X-Men the Audio Drama is a production of Scytherin Podcasts. For more, go to our website at xmenaudiodrama.com. Follow us on Twitter or on YouTube at Scyther Inc. Productions, or find our group Scyther Inc. Audio Podcasts on Facebook. Stay tuned for next time, episode 10, Beast.